Did you wake up late one day and you're not so young, but you're still dumb and you're numb to your glory, but now it's gone. I fell in love, but it didn't catch your fall. Then I crashed to a wall, then I fell to pieces on the floor. Now you're sick to death, bombs away, it goes nothing, the shouting's over.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? Welcome, 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 welcome to our table. Welcome to the place that we do this thing called the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hey, guys. Curl Studio Tour 2012 is done.
It has wrapped. This past Sunday, we were at the Philly Zine. Or it wasn't the Zine. I shouldn't say that.
Locust
Moon Comics Festival. Both in the same location, so I get confused. It's at the Rotunda in Philly. West Philadelphia,
born and raised.
On the playground is where I spent
most of my days.
So we hung out. It was good. We pretty much, the show started at 11 and it went till 8. But I think a lot of people left before 7.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a big chunk of time, too.
Yeah, it's like a long time to do a show for sit there for 9 hours.
Yeah.
It was really funny because at the end of the show, there was this one guy. I don't recall his name, but he wasn't, like, packing up at all, and he was just sitting around talking.
I believe his name is Tom.
Tom.
Is Tom?
Let's call him Tom.
Hey, Tom.
And then there was, like, Rafer. And so I'm like, dude, this is, like, Ink Master. This is, like, who can leave the table last? Because, basically, you know those, like, car competitions where, like, you have a couple kissing on a car? Or
yeah.
You have to, like, be a single person or something and, like, touch the car? And
yeah.
If you, like... If you stop touching the car, you lose, and you don't get the car, you know? Whoever's the longest survives. So, like, I'm like, dude, there's like, two people left. And, like, Rafer's, like, actually trying to sell. You know, he's standing up, he's there, he's ready.
Yeah.
The other guy is, too, but he's, you know, having a conversation with somebody. And so I'm like, wait a second. These are the two people that have not packed up yet. This is Ink Master. This is, like, a challenge, you know? But it's funny because, like, I was like... At this time, right before we packed up, it was probably, like, maybe 70% of people have already packed up or left, right?
Yeah.
So then we're sitting there, I'm like, you know, it seems like it's kind of ending, Joe. And then I looked over at Rafer, and I'm like, well, I know Rafer's not going to pack up. He's going to be the last one standing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, let's stay for a few minutes and see who packs up first. Like, I was already putting a competition spin on it. And it's funny because... Then I, like, 5 minutes later, I look over, I glance over at Rafer, and he's, like, fiddling with something. I'm like, oh, he's packing up. You know, it looked to me, like, from far, like, we were on the opposite end of the building.
Yeah.
So it looked to me like he was packing up. So I'm like, oh, he's packing up. And then you're like, okay, well, let's go.
You're like, well.
Like, Rafer was, like, the sign.
Because, yeah, usually we look towards Rafer, you know, like, it's like, well, if Rafer's going, we're out of here.
Yeah. So, you know, we packed up. It didn't really take us that long to... unpack because we didn't have like a sign or a big banner behind us this time.
Yeah.
And so after I pack up, I look over at Rafer and he's still standing there like selling, and it looked like he didn't pack up. And so I'm like, what, you like pulled a little trick on us? I like explain the whole thing to him.
Yeah.
And and he's like, that's what I do. But it was cool because I really liked that. Maybe it was just a mental thing that I gave myself. Like, to be who's the last man standing type thing. But I thought that was pretty cool that, like, Rafer was just fiddling with something and he really wasn't packing up. But, like, I don't know. Sometimes, like, at these events, you just gotta, like, play mental games with yourself, I think.
For survival?
Yeah, for survival. But at the end of the day, that Tom guy won. Because I was like, Rafer, you need to compete. You're gonna win. I was like, I knew you'd be the Ink Master. And, and then he was like, oh, well, I'm looking around. He's like, I still have 3 hours to, like, drive home. I guess the other guy's more local.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have a big banner behind me. And I was like, exactly. I was like, you're going to be the Ink Master because it's going to take you longer to disassemble.
You're going
to
be the Ink Master. That's the only thing. Like, you're going to be the Ink Master, man.
I guess it can apply to comics as well, inking. But instead of tattoos.
Maybe that's what you meant during that time.
Yeah, that is what I meant. And
You're the inker master.
You're the ink master, dude. You're the comics master. And, but yeah, I don't think the other guy, like, was aware, Tom. I don't think he was aware at all about, like, our competition, our fake competition that I made up in my head.
Well, you gotta sell. It doesn't matter how many people. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but at the time, like, there was really, like, no one there, though. But then Rafer, like, finally gave in. He's like, He's like, there's no one here to sell to.
But see, there's always those final last ones. They're like, well, if everyone else is packed up, the people that do walk in, of course, they're going to go to the people that are still open.
You know what would be horrible?
Because that's what I do with normal stores in general. I'm like, man, Best Buy's closed. I guess I'll go to Target. Or, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like that. And that's how it is. And that's the way it is.
Exactly. But it's interesting because, you know, the poster and everything and said they close at 8, right? So, like, let's say your shift got out at 6:30 and, you know, you start to head over. You're like, I can catch the last of the Locust Moon Comics Festival.
Yeah.
And then...
And if, like, no one's set
no
up...
No one's there. And you're like, what?
You're like, well, I came to see comics. I can't just go tell these people they're all packed up. You go to the ones that are open.
I don't think there would be anyone to see at the very end. But, yeah, I think having a comic show on Sunday at 8 o'clock is a little rough, but...
I know, but we still snuck in there at the very end, though, so, you know.
We did. We were there, you know. We get a merit badge for staying. Because some people left...
The Boy Scout merit badge.
Some people left at, like, 1, so we're good. But that shouldn't dismiss how good of a show it was, because I felt like it was a really good show. I felt like it was, like, a mini SPX in Philly.
Yeah.
And we wanted to reach that market. And I did see a lot of the same people over and over again. But there was something awesome that happened when I was away from the table. I think I might have been going to the bathroom in the morning.
Was
that when this happened, when that guy and the little girl? You should tell the story because you actually were there.
Well, it's sort of a sad story at the same time, because this was at the beginning of the show. I think the show started. It's weird. It's like I lost track of all time. Like, at the beginning, I was like, holy crap, this show started at 11. All of a sudden, it's like 1 o'clock. I'm like, what happened those 2 hours?
Man? Time warp, dude.
But basically, at the beginning of the, I would assume somewhere in that time warp time, because I'm still sort of recovering from, I don't know if it's a back injury or a back pain or whatever, but it's very tough to sit. And the whole time I'm sitting, I'm trying to, like, be like, if I move my back this way, it's going to hurt a whole lot.
You should stand while doing the show now. Can't you, like, pump up the mic stand and actually stand?
I guess I can. I guess I can do that.
So then that way you won't have to sit right now.
All
right,
let me see if I can do that.
We should do standing shows. Actually, that might be interesting.
All right, then put your mic up. I'll put my mic up if you put your mic up.
I actually want to sit down. I'm lazy.
Ah, this hurts.
It hurts to stand up?
It hurts to stand, ladies and gentlemen, and it hurts to sit. What are you doing? How comfortable is your life?
How are you supposed to, like, move around?
I don't know. It's sort of funny how, like, people, like, don't... Some people didn't take, like, my back injury or back pain as serious, and they're like, whatever, Joe, it doesn't. But it's like, I'm like, well, I can't sit and I can't stand without like, serious
stretching.
So does
it feel better now that you're standing and recording this show?
Yeah, I guess. It's like almost like the same of, like, it's the same thing as like I gotta keep my back, like, in motion, or else it's gonna get stiff. I guess that's what it is. Stiffness.
See, I feel like part, I'm not a doctor or anything, but my diagnosis is that if you're sitting around editing or driving here, driving there, everywhere, lugging your equipment, I think that you are not getting proper exercise in terms of, like, in-betweeners. Does that make sense? Like, if you need to, like, basically go out middle of the day and take a walk. And it doesn't have to be anything extraneous, but just, like, just move your body so you're not just, like, basically combusting your spine for 8 hours.
So, ladies and gentlemen out there, when those people tell you that, like, every 30 minutes that you should stand up out of your away from your computer desk and stretch your body...
Is it really every 30 minutes?
Well, they say that, or any 20 minutes for an hour. Minutes per hour, or something like that. It's true.
Well, then how are you supposed to do your timesheet? How are you supposed to log 8 hours when 20 minutes out of an hour is supposed to be free time?
That's billable time, but
there is no such thing.
But it's true. Your back does compress a lot, and I do spend a lot of time in front of the computer, you know, editing film, editing video, editing anything involving something awesome, hopefully, and all of a sudden, sometimes you realize it's 6 o'clock. And a lot of times I'm driving, and it's, you know, I got a long
6 a.m. or p.m.?
Either way.
Yeah, I don't even know either anymore.
Way. But, like, yeah, you do that for a certain over almost 15 years, yeah, your back will start to it'll happen. So, yeah, now the compression, I got to uncompress my spine, and it doesn't help with the whole lifting and all that stuff. But, you know, we're battling it. It's a lot better than what it was before. Like, I remember there was one day where it just kicked in, and I was like, I can't sit at all. I can't do anything. Like, it was so painful to walk. So, but now, you know, I was like, well, I got to get this.
And also, you're not taking any drugs, so.
And that's one thing I talked to Rafer about. Rafer was like, yeah, I've had some back problems. You should take some medicine. I was like, I'm not going to take medicine, Rafer. You should take some painkillers. I'm like, of course I'm not going to take painkillers at all. Muscle relaxers and any of that stuff. He's like, well, it relaxes it and it suppresses the pain. I was like, well, I don't want to suppress the pain. I want to fix it. I don't care about the pain. I just want it to be fixed.
So I think basically what we should do, you to a more extent, is basically like stretch every day.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I know it might be hard to like kick out 20 minutes out of every hour. That seems like a little much to me. But I would say at least every 3-4 hours, get up and walk around for a few minutes.
I mean, that's a good deal, and I try to do that. I try to do all that, and that's a dream.
But also, like, I feel like I never see the world anymore because with this, like, what is it called? The time thing.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Time thing.
The time thing. No, there's a word for it. Like, there's a fancier word for the time basically getting dark at 5 o'clock.
Dawn.
No, the
twilight.
No.
Breaking Bad?
No.
Breaking Dawn?
No. There's like a daylight savings time or something like that. I don't know what the hell it's saving, because like, what are you saving? That you're destroying my day.
The morning,
I don't
right?
even see like the sun. I don't see any of that jazz. I don't even see any of the trees. I see complete darkness.
So.
And a street light maybe.
So basically, my back is healing. So I was there trying to focus on my, you know, just being like, what's the proper position of sitting? Because even when we're watching movies, I was trying to, in the movie theater, you know, I thought like the chairs would be a little better. They were, but like after like 3 hours of The Hobbit, I'm just like, holy crap, what the hell?
I think that's not just you, that's everybody. Because, I mean, if you're sitting for 3 hours with a giant screen in your face.
Yeah, so I was trying to like literally like, I was like, can I lay down back on this? Should I do this from the side? Because it started straining a little bit. And you know, I want to enjoy the movie, but we'll get back to that later. But
this incident at Locust Moon Comics Fest.
No, it wasn't an incident. It was just it was a story. Yeah, it was a story that's had, and basically I was in front, or I was
story.
I was sitting there, you know, behind the table, behind our booth, behind our table, whatever you want to call it these days, and a father and a daughter, blonde daughter, comes up to the table and points at Kid Roxy number one of our very first books that we ever created. And the dad goes, isn't that your book, the one that got destroyed and you cried like about it? And then like she looked really sad about that. She was already a shy girl. You can tell she was a shy girl, but she like nodded. And when she kept on looking at the rest of the stuff, and I stood up and I'm not going to go small talk with the girl, I go small talk with the dad. And I was like, oh, so what happened to the book? And then he was like, yeah, she loved the book like so much. She like was reading it underneath the tree, and then she got distracted and she accidentally left it there, and then it rained, and then the book got destroyed.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, that sucks.
That visual is just horrible, because it's just paper that's wet, probably.
Yeah, it's like wet paper. You know, like how paper started.
Maybe with a little bit of like dust from the leaves and the ground.
So like, yeah, I've never even
pulp.
I mean, that's the number one fan right there.
I know, man.
But like, I felt sad because I was like, anytime I've had one of my books, any one of my books get like destroyed at all, people who know me know that like if there's any damage that's going to happen to anything that I own, I want it to be from me.
You know what's messed up at the earthquake that happened this past year? The was one thing that actually got messed up was a comic book.
Yeah. What the hell? I don't like that one bit.
And all your comic book shelf fell.
Yeah, my whole comic shelf fell. That was a sadder.
But actually, did any of the books get messed up, or was it just that one book?
Yeah, some books got messed up. My true story, swear to God, got messed up. So it was one of those things. But yeah, like the locust, you know, it was interesting because then that girl, I thought she was gonna go and buy the book again. I guess really I should just get. I don't know if I should, but whatever. But she kept on. She was staring. She would go to the table because I would see her walk by and I'd hear her dad go, "Do you want your money now? Do you want your money now?" Like to, I guess she gets money to, you know,
to have a shopping spree.
Yeah, to have a shopping spree. I was like, wow, that's an amazing thing. And she kept on hanging out like at our table.
No, like I wasn't there for that first story, but she came by like several times.
Yeah. It's I don't know if you guys out there, you know, who spent some time trying to sell stuff at a table trying to push your product.
Or a lemonade stand,
or anything
very
like
similar,
or anything like that. But you know, you have to, you know, you want to talk to the people that are, you know, trying to, that, you know, to get your stuff in their hands any best way. But she would walk up there, and she would like look, literally like just be there and like looking at everything silently. And this is like I don't even know, like a 5-year old girl,
it's kind of like window shopping,
5 or 7 year old girl or something like that.
You know, like if you know, if you're not like aggressive and you're just like window shopping.
Yeah. I thought was really was really funny. So she had 20 bucks. I swear she probably spent like a majority of that on us.
Yeah, she came by 4 times. She bought 4 things from us. But it was, what I thought was hilarious about it was that each time she would buy 1 thing. And then she would like she would, you know, smile and like walk off with her object. And then she would come back like throughout the show.
Yeah. And what's,
she did it like staggered times too.
What's really cool or you know, interesting about the way that she would buy things, that she wouldn't tell you that she wants some. That she would stand there with her buddy and like look at what she wants, but she wouldn't say like, well, she would later on, but she wouldn't start with like, "Can I get this or that?" You just sort of assume like, "Hey, what do you want?" And she like would point or shyly point at something.
Yeah.
And then she would say, "How much is that?" And then you'd tell her the price. But no matter what the price was, even if she had more than what she needed, she would always go like, "I only have this. I only have $5.
Yeah.
And I was like, "All right, it's cool. That's enough. It works."
Yeah. And actually, one time she didn't have enough. I think her last purchase, she had like $3 or something.
Yeah.
And she was trying to buy something that was $5. I'm like, "Oh, it's $5. And then she just like left the table, and then maybe like 20 minutes later came back with money. And I was like,
genius.
The heck, dude. Like, she's genius.
She knows how to hustle for the rest of
and then she asked investors. For, oh, she actually came back 5 times, because then she came back a 5th time and had a notebook with her, and she asked for a sketch, and I didn't charge her for a sketch.
Yeah.
Like, but I was like, cool, I'll like sketch you a Kid Roxy.
Yeah.
But it was cool because she was like standing over my shoulder like watching.
Yeah.
I guess in the beginning she was still in the front of the table. And then she was, like, looking over, and then she came around the corner and just stood next to me and watched.
And
but that girl's awesome. Like, I don't know. There's something, like, about the, like, innocence of it and just her always coming back to our table. And she wasn't standing there like a barnacle. You know how there's some people that just stand there forever?
Yeah.
She wasn't like that. It was more like she was just choosing what she wanted. And then she also, I think what else was funny was when her first purchase was rebuying the Kid Roxy #1 that got messed up in this rainstorm under the tree.
We should have gave her like a plastic, like a bag and board for
yes,
her or something.
We should have.
Like
we don't carry the bag and boards, but that would have been fun. It's funny because you were like, "Oh, here's Kid Roxy #2. Like you were like introducing her to like the second book. You're like, do you want that one too? You know? And then like, because you were kind of trying to sell it like as a package deal on her first purchase. And then she just, like, shook her head, and then she just wanted the first one.
Yeah.
So at that time, like, we weren't really super familiar with her, so we're like, "Oh, I guess she just wants the first one."
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't want to read on, you know? But then she did come back and buy it, and then she bought a couple other things. But I thought that girl was awesome. She was, like, the #1 fan of that day.
Yeah.
She's our #1 Philly fan.
I thought that's really cool. And you know, it's always unique. It's a unique experience because, you know, for a show like this, it's, you know, every book is sort of like a niche. And I feel it's cool that, like, the books that we make can reach that audience as well.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, it's very accepting for that audience, but it's also, like, it's really, we have stuff for everybody. You know what I mean? But it's, like, how many times does a little kid like that get to find something in a show like this? where, you know, I don't know. There's a, you know, you have a lot of unique things there.
There was another little kid about maybe that girl's same age, but he was like a black guy, black boy.
Yeah.
And, or I guess to be like PC about it, he was an African-American child. And you know what about that, though? I've run into a couple black people that have said that they don't like to be called African American.
Maybe because they're not from Africa.
Well, that's what I think too. It's like some people that are
not from. There's some black people that are not from Africa.
Like no one. I don't go around being like I'm a Polish American. Like I don't. I have no affiliation with Poland. As far as I know, I don't know any relatives that actually lives there. I'm sure somebody does, but yeah. Like I have no affiliation with it. I've never been to Poland. I have like really no connection. I mean, I like pierogies and all, but like I haven't. I have no connection to Poland, so if somebody's like, you're a Polish-American, and like that would be the equivalent of, like, if you're a black person, you've always been in America, you know what I mean? Like, you have no affiliation with Africa,
yeah.
And somebody's like, African-American. Like, I get the PC part of it, but it's just like, there's a white person and a black person, come on.
I wonder if there's some, if they do that, like, when people outside of America.
Oh, like outside of America that come into America?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they just say they're American? That's what they would say, and that's the proper term.
But what American. If? But what if like you're?
Or they like? Are they like? This is a white American, and this is a black.
You're
American.
A Russian American, or you're a Filipino American. You know, because like, then it's reversed when you're in there.
I think that honestly, I think that other countries American, just Russian. Say that you're an American. You're an American. Like I don't understand. Like I don't know why people gotta label people like that. Like there's one thing to like describe somebody's skin color. You know, I'd describe this little boy. You know, young black boy. Like, that's what he was, you know?
And it was a little blacky.
Like,
what people need,
you know,
people
you know,
need
like
labels.
From True Grit.
People,
little blacky.
People just need labels to be comfortable saying something. It's sort of like the same as, like if you know somebody. I mean, this is what
but
I feel.
But then why do people turn it into, like, a negative? Like, I'm not really.
Because
like,
people
I'm sure
are
there's
negative.
Somebody out there that's listening, maybe,
because,
that.
Because people.
That is like, oh, how dare she call him a little black boy?
We are in the most negative time in our whole entire society. Everyone is so fucking negative. That's why. It's like,
so
no,
what's,
you
what's
can't.
The difference
you can't
between
call
saying
that the color red.
A little
the
black
red is wrong.
Boy versus a little blonde girl. This is the same. That's just describing them. They're the ones that are putting on the negativity.
Well, right? Yeah, like, if someone, here's a real lesson. You know, like in high school, you know, of course you'd go and you'd, if you're annoyed with a girl and she's being a bitch, you'd be like, you're such a bitch, you know? But if the girl doesn't take offense, she's like, yeah, that's right, I'm a bitch. If she doesn't take offense to it, then nothing's wrong. It doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it all depends on the person that you're making the comment on. Are they offended by that? If they're not, then what?
Well, even like our friend Becky on well, I guess on Facebook, because she lives in New York now, because we don't really see much of her. But she changed her Facebook name to Black Girl Named Becky.
Yeah, she's
that's
black.
That's what she's black. And but is somebody going to be offended by that? Oh, she called herself black. I'm sure
someone
somebody
will be.
Would be.
There's always something.
That's just like saying white girl named Carolyn.
Yeah.
What I mean, that's what I am, you know.
Well,
anyway,
that's like, but if it's a mislabel, I understand. That's like being called the name that you're not. If you're not, if you're being misnamed, I understand that. If you're offended by that, I understand. You know.
Yeah.
But if you're not, so it really it's a case by case basis of offensiveness. That's really what it breaks it down to.
But anyway, what I'm saying when I describe this young man, I'm not trying to be offensive by calling him little black boy. That's what.
Or
he was.
A young man.
Young man. This
because
young
you,
man.
Because in Japan, they call them young boys, you know.
Well,
some
was,
people
he was
like, oh, young boy, that's a sexual young boy. You know, that's. Anyone can be offended by anything, so at the end of the day, fuck them all.
Just so you know, I'm not trying to be offensive.
Well, but, who cares?
But if you are, then good. I did my job. But anyway, so this young boy, who's the same probably age as the girl, he comes by and he sees the curls bookmarks that I have, like, my webcomic curls, curls-studio.com. Is basically like the girl curls hanging out with her friends, like eating a picnic.
Yeah.
And
it's the main promotional image.
It's the main promotional image that I'm using right now for curls. And so, you know, he picks up the bookmark and he's like, how much is this? I'm like, it's free. You can have one. Have fun with it. Take it. You know, like,
yeah.
And then he's like all happy. And then he stands there for like 2 seconds. And I have that same image on a curls like book.
Yeah.
And then he's like, how much is this? Which I think is funny when little kids ask, because, like, there are prices. But anyway, there's prices listed.
Yeah, but we didn't put any price tags out there. No.
Somewhere on there.
We know by now, it's like we almost got to be literal with the audience or, like, the customers, because it's hard to get anyone's attention, too.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, you know, that book's $5. And it was, like, a book of, I think, 24 curl strips. And then he's like, okay. And he just hands me a $5 bill.
But okay.
And in my head, I'm like, that's awesome. That's, like, such a great sell.
Yeah.
Because he didn't, like, flip through the book or anything. He must have just really liked that image.
Yeah.
But then as he was walking away, I'm like, you already got the image for free on the bookmark. But then he wanted the book, too. So I was like, all right. You know?
Which one was that? Was that the...
Yeah, it was, like, a Curls, like, sampler book. Oh, sampler book? Cool. That had the picnic on it.
Nice.
But, I mean, cool. I mean, I'm down if that sell. But it was just funny because I'm like... All right, that's what you want. I guess kids are cool like that. Like, they just sometimes like stuff like that, and they don't have to, like, overly analyze everything.
Yeah.
But that's what I think, like, our main market was at the Locust Moon Comics Festival this past weekend. I think, like, a lot of, I think we took that market.
We
took that kids market. Seriously, though, and I know a lot of people in comics industry are like, I'm tough. I'm going to only read all these books that are hardcore. You know, like,
wouldn't that be me?
Yes, that actually would be you.
No, don't I cross that line?
But
basically?
You do. I mean, if you wanted to, you could read, like, My Little Pony and not feel like you were degrading the male species.
Yeah, but I read basically, I do read, like, I don't know, it's weird. I don't really go towards, like, superhero books as much, but there has to be, like, a uniqueness about it. It's like, yeah, I read Caligula and yeah, I read Cross, but those are mainly because it's David Lapham. You know, if they were not written by David Lapham, I would not, like,
so you're
read
more
those
about
books.
The creator.
Yeah, I'm a creator. I'm a creator-owned. I am a creator-owned person. So it's sort of like, it's like, what are you making that I dig? And I follow it. You know, it's like, of course, I'll read it. I'll read an issue of Wolverine and the X-Men.
Because
it's the ones I picked up because it was drawn by Mike Allred. And then the other one was drawn by Chris Bachalo. I picked it up. And I'd hope to God that it's written well. I don't know, written well, whatever. It's written to my specifications, you know? That's mainly what I'd focus on. Those are the things. Like, the new Batman, yeah, that's the...
Do you ever concentrate on, like, a writers, though?
No, yeah, I do concentrate on writers. Or
but it's, like,
be,
creators, like in Grant art, Mor- like in Grant art Morris. And
I just writing. David Lapham was what I was talking about with Caligula and Cross. But, like, you know, I don't read all the stuff. There's some of the stuff that, like, I don't really click with.
But I do run into occasionally some guys that are like, I'm tough, I'm hardcore, get out of my way, I'm not gonna read your little kiddie books. I mean that's understandable. There is some groups of people that is not gonna read it.
Yesterday Riley Brown said his girlfriend's said she's gonna stop shopping at a comic book store near her work because
I guess she asked
his fiance, like, because she apparently didn't know the issues that Riley Brown drew of Spider-Man.
And they're being
like fanboy jock about it.
They're giving
her
a hard time about it.
I don't know how to picture that. I'll be like, I can sort of picture that happens. Like, oh, you don't know? Jeez. And then they'll do some smart ass like comment, like they try to.
Because they
want to
own that
them.
Geek cred. They want to, like, flash their it's geek like, well, card he, and be like, well, I know more than you.
If I was Riley's fiance, I would know every single issue that it was. And at the end of the day, it comes down to probably Riley's, you know, Riley didn't just, you know, ask to marry a fan, but, like, a real person. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to. Are you really in a relationship? Are you in a relationship with a comic book groupie? Or you know what I mean?
I wasn't there for that incident, but, like, they should have not really gave her that much pressure about it, you know? So
it's literally like you're a salesman. Don't offend your you know, no matter all that, just don't offend your clients. You don't offend your customers, you know?
Well,
I mean?
It must have been pretty bad to a point if she doesn't want to, like, go there again.
But I feel like that's the worst thing that can... It's like, what the hell, man? I don't know. I'm just not a very social person, but when I see stuff like that, it's like, that's why. Because it's when you put people in groups, they act like idiots. You know what I mean? I have more of a gang mentality, and I've always had a gang mentality, and maybe that's why I'm standoffish and a lot of times could become off as, like, an asshole. But I'm fine with it because at least I'm honest about it. But at least when I see injustice, you have to stand up for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be something for everyone. And even like with My Little Pony and stuff, like I posted a comment about how My Little Pony is outselling Wolverine and Green Lantern and a whole bunch of other books that, you know, are, I guess it's a surprise to people that My Little Pony's doing so well.
Yeah.
Like, but in my eyes, like I always knew it would be a success, but maybe not to that level of like you're beating out.
I mean,
these
the name
top
brand
superheroes.
By name brand itself is pretty big too.
Definitely. And so, but I guess like I did receive a couple comments back that seemed like negative. And
was it from the internet?
Yeah. So, but it's
of course it's going to be negative. It's the internet.
It's just kind of
the internet is just this negative. Everyone's first opinion on the internet is negative because they're dumbasses.
Yeah, but it's just interesting because like
not that sounded
any
positive.
I understand that not everybody's gonna like My Little Pony. I get that. But at the same time, it's like why do you even have to comment if you don't read it and you don't like that type of stuff? It's too cutesy for you or whatever reason. Then why do you even have to comment? You know, like who cares?
Change the channel.
Just click and keep going. You know, it's like what? I don't understand why people get so worked up about it. They're like, no, he can't. My Little Pony can't ever beat my treasured Green Lantern. You know, like it's
my treasured Green Lantern. Thank you, Green Lantern.
But it's just funny how people are like that. But yeah, at the comic book shows, yeah, our stuff does look like more on the My Little Pony side type.
Does it? No, it doesn't. Thing.
Well, like my art style is more like that versus something that's really
your art style is
crossed
more,
or something.
Crossed has multiple artists on there,
but it would be funny if I drew something like crossed, like some like decapitated head with somebody holding the head. Maybe I should draw something like that so then I can be like I'm edgy.
Well,
check that out.
Well, I mean, people should stay tuned to Kid Roxy 3 then and see how that
head
plays
on,
off
a head on a stick.
Yes, Debbie reads or Roxy reads a lot of stuff like that,
but yeah, so I don't know, people like to judge, and then it's funny because like I mean, I'm all about stereotypes as well, but I know that that things can break stereotypes.
I mean, I grew up on Buffy, which was basically like a genre blender. You know what I mean? Where it establishes all the genres of like horror and all that stuff, and then it fuses many different other like stereotypes. It breaks the stereotypes on everything. It's like because with Buffy, the main character, like for horror movies, usually the victim is the like the blonde girl is always running and then she gets killed and stuff like that, and that was the key of Buffy. It was like now the blonde girl gets up and fights back.
Yeah,
you know, that's what was important about that.
You know, when you were away on the Beach Boys tour this summer, I did the what was it called, the DC Zine Fest.
Yeah,
and it was interesting because I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the people that went to that show were like, I guess
Smelly cat.
There was a couple people that smelled, and there was like these underground kids, and then there
the
was
underground
like
kids.
There's like these like
strange
kind of like homeless like DC kids, punk kids, and
from the flats.
I guess some kids that like were the 99%.
We're all the 99%, Carolyn.
Yeah, no, but like they were like the people that spoke up for the 99%.
I speak up for the 99%.
They were like the protesters from that.
Oh, okay.
They're
part of
that,
the movement.
Like, you know,
they're the movement.
That's why they were smelly cat, because they like were outside in like lack of shower and in the tent and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
They just walked in. I thought they were supposed to stay in one spot.
I don't know, man. There was,
they're like, oh, there's a zine fest. Let's all go.
Yeah. Like,
Occupy
zine fest. And they were pretty much like, maybe they took shifts. I don't know. Well, anyway, the Occupy people were there. And then some other people that were there were like, and then some hipster kids that like have lots of money, but then pretended like they don't have anything were
yeah.
there.
Like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's actually not their money. It's their parents' money. We should be
clear
about that.
The trust
that.
Fund kids?
Yeah. And so anyway, there was all different types of people. And I know I'm like, you know, criticizing now too. But that's
no,
what
you're
it
not.
Was.
You're just, you're
no, I'm
you're,
observing. That's seriously what it was.
You're listing who was there.
Yeah.
You know, just like at the high school cafeteria.
And then there was like some older people that were really into comics that were there. Or like just scenes and stuff that were there. There's all different types of people there. But yeah, I would say mostly like 50% of the audience was like smelly cat, hippie-ish guys. And
guys
and gals.
Isn't that something? Isn't that one thing you also saw at the Locust Moon people wrote on the posters?
Yeah, I saw a poster outside Locust Moon Comics Festival of the actual like event poster. And it said somebody wrote like with a Sharpie marker, why so many guys? I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
I don't know, man.
But that's what they wrote. Anyway, Yeah, so so at the DC Zine Fest, which was this past summer, I did the show by myself because Joe was touring with the Beach Boys. But it was interesting because we have this book called Carnival. And basically, the cover of it has Madame Fortune on it. And she's a fortune teller. And then in front of her, in the foreground, is like the ball, the magic ball. And it has everybody's names that's in the anthology that I put together.
Yeah.
And her hands are like cuddling it, and she's like looking down on the ball. And this girl comes by, and she was one of the like 99%, I guess. And she's like, you know, that is very offensive. And I was like, what is offensive? And she's like, she did get offended by that cover. She's like, that is gypsies. And she's like, just having gypsies is offensive. And like, she's like, that is a derogatory term.
There's nothing on the cover that says gypsy.
Yeah, and I was like, okay.
I don't remember a fortune teller being a gypsy.
I did kind of like acknowledge. I was like, yeah, well, you know, it is kind of stereotypical if there is a, like that gypsy type vibe. You know, she has like her head wrap and like those long ringed earrings, like, and that type of texture. And
what? It sounds like a normal girl in DC.
I mean, yeah, it could be a normal person.
With a turban?
But apparently she was, like, very offensive.
That's like a 40s flapper look.
Apparently she was very offensive about it.
She was offended by it?
Yeah, she was very offended by it. And then I was like, well, I didn't mean to offend anyone. It's just a fortune teller. And this is a story about carnivals. And then she was like, she just kept explaining how gypsy was a derogatory term. And I was like, okay, well, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I didn't mean to offend.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what was in her mind? I have no idea.
Well, sometimes when you're in that sort of revolutionary stance.
Yeah, she was trying to be a revolutionary.
You try to find those battles. You know what I mean?
It was almost like she was trying to. Yeah, she was like trying to be like, yeah. I'm offended.
Those pre-war romanticism, revolutionary 60s, like, it's about love, man. You gotta fight this shit.
And I honestly have no idea. We should put a link up to that on the show.
What's that?
The Carnival book.
All right.
And maybe you can buy it for $4.
$4.
You can buy it online. Yeah, so like, I don't, you guys take a look at that image and you let us know, is that offensive to you? And what you think that she was offended by, that gypsy. I don't know. I have no idea, dude.
That gypsy.
She was offended by it, and there's no word of gypsy on it.
There's no word of gypsy in the whole thing.
I don't even know what her problem is.
I didn't write that story, and you saw the script. I didn't write that, like, the title of that character was not gypsy. It's a fortune teller.
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know, like...
that gypsy.
You know,
Stay away from me, gypsy.
I didn't want to, like, you know, stay create controversy me, necessarily, but I was just like, hey, if you're offended, like, just so you know, I did not mean to offend anybody. Just having fun, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty much like that type of attitude,
just kidding around.
But she kept like her main comeback was just like, well, I'm offended because that's a gypsy. And I'm like, okay, well, there doesn't say gypsy anywhere on there, but
because,
you know, whatever,
that's a gypsy.
I don't know, she was just like, she kept bringing it up like three times, and then she like, you know, and then she left, and then I was like, okay, whew, girl's gone. And then like this other guy was standing next to me, like, or on the other, you know, it's next to her on the other side of the table, and
yeah.
he like overheard the whole conversation. He was flipping through a magic bullet, and he was just like, he held up the magic bullet and he's like, you know, I'm offended by this. He was just like trying to like play off that joke, and then we started talking about magic bullet, and then everything was fine.
That's something I like to do too, like when sometimes when you're behind the table,
and he didn't tell me he was an Occupy guy,
and you like say, you know, when you're behind the table and you say hi to somebody, and then the person doesn't say hi to you, like in front of the table.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to, like, you know, intercept and say, like, hey, what's up, man? Like, if I'm sitting next to you.
Yeah.
Because it's always a weird, harsh feeling, but at the same time, I understand because it's noisy.
Yeah. And they might be concentrating or in their own mind or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Like, I can't even think of anything that I've been extremely offended by that I, like, have to tell someone about.
I have. I've been offended whenever someone tries to shoot up any kids.
Well,
I get extremely offended by that.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, end the world. Kill them all.
This might be our last show.
This might be our last show.
The Mayan thing is December 21st, so this could be the end of the Carolyn
this
and Joe
could
show.
Be the very end
could
of
be the
world.
End, you guys.
This could be the final thing. But yeah, like I was really like this past couple weeks when that occurred over with the kids, I don't know. It was a horrible thing, but
it was last Friday.
Last Friday, I was offended by that, but then at the same time, I was doubly more offended by the way people reacted on the social media.
On the social media
surface, that bullshit term again. I don't know. It's like,
why were you offended?
I was just really offended because now at this point, whenever I see anyone post anything on anything that's, you know, that's hardcore, they're like literally their opinion, and then what? I don't know. It just seems like they're more looking out for themselves these days. You know what I mean?
I feel like everyone needs to have a statement. Like even a lot of celebrities had a statement. They're like, I'm so sorry for the events that occurred today. Which, you know, I'm not offended by that, but it's almost like everyone just has to be heard.
But see, this is what happens. At first, it starts out like that. At first, it starts out like just like when that girl that no one likes in high school dies, and all of a sudden everyone says they're her friend and they love these memories of this. It's, you know, I'm not saying that was equivalent to this, but I'm saying it's like it becomes that moment of like, oh yeah, that was such a horrible thing, and then it turned like a hard left into like political, and then people are starting talking about like the political battles, and then it just became this bullshit political thing that like now it's just about whose opinion is correct.
You know,
and I was just like, that offends me even more because you guys literally don't give a flying fuck, and fuck you all, because it just like, to me, I was just like, now you're literally out for number one. You know, it's not like you didn't care about that. You know what I mean? It's
like their insecurity about the whole scenario, though, like comforts them to like write something about it online.
But then
also
you have that side of other people that are like, oh shit, everyone else is commenting, like making comments. Now I need to say something too, or else I'll be left behind.
Yeah.
And then there's just like, those people are just as gullible as everything else.
Well, you know what?
It's like, why do we have to say something online?
You know what's interesting to me?
Even though that's what we're doing, but at least we're putting a show.
A real life situation, this actually happened in our high school, is we were seniors, and the guy, one guy that was like a year before us, so he had like already graduated and was a freshman in college. I guess he was on a basketball team at University of Richmond, I believe. And, you know, he was like one of those like star basketball player guys. And he died because of like some dare type thing or some initiation of jumping off a bridge and like trying to swim, and I guess he didn't know how to swim, and it was pretty sad. And I did not know him that well. He was on the track team, but I never really like was friends with him. I just knew of him, and I didn't really associate with him because he was like a year older, and he was like on the guys team. I never really like talked to him, but I knew him, and I would never say I was friends with him. But it was funny because everyone came out of the woodwork. They're like, I'm friends with Donnie. I'm friends with Donnie. Let's go to, like, everyone went to his funeral. It was really weird. I don't know if you remember that day at school, but like it felt like everybody went to his funeral. And I'm like, in my head, I didn't go because I was like, I don't know him that well.
It became like a fame jock sniffer. It's like, oh, this is the thing to do. You know what I mean?
It became like a cool thing to do.
To me, it wasn't honest. And when things are not honest, it hurts.
Yeah. If I was the family, I mean, I don't know what they know. Maybe they were like, oh, he's a treasured graduate of the school, and like everyone's coming out. But I just thought it was strange too, because I'm like, well, why would somebody like a year younger than you, unless you're like really true friends with somebody? Because most people were only friends with people that were in their grade, usually. Maybe a couple overlapped, but in general, like, no one had like a huge fan base that was like a year younger than you too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. But anyway, like, all these people were like coming out, and even like other like maybe like popular juniors were like, oh yeah, I know Donnie. And I'm like, I don't know if you really knew him that well. Maybe I'm missing out. I don't know. But it just seemed like a fake thing that,
but
like,
it's also like, did he touch as many, not touch, but did he touch you, and does his work touch you that much?
Probably.
Did he inspire you?
I don't know. He was like a star basketball player.
But like,
I think people didn't know who he was, but maybe that was it. People knew who he was. Like, I knew who he was, but there's no way I'm going to go to his funeral. I didn't know him close enough to be like, skipping school. And I think a lot of people just use it as an excuse to skip school.
That's what it was. Everything has just become some sort of excuse, and I hate excuses.
But yeah, that day was always really odd to me, because I would like look around in class and see who like went to Donnie's funeral, and I'm like, really? They did not even know. I'm like, what?
It could have been the Hobbit, like, and they would have left. You know what I mean?
It's just like
an excuse just to get out.
No, but I'm like, these people didn't even really know him, you know? And like, I'm not saying that I didn't know him, because that's why I didn't go to the funeral, but I was like at least on the track team with him. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what? All these people did not know him. It was just like an odd day, and I was like, that's so strange. It was like a Veronica Mars incident or something. I could see something like that happen on that show.
Speaking of Veronica Mars, finally, Gossip Girl, the last episode of Gossip Girl was, I guess, this Monday, which was yesterday before the show comes out, and they apparently revealed who Gossip Girl is. I haven't seen it, but if they don't reveal that it's Kristen Bell, it's going to be so stupid.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, she does the voice of the Gossip Girl voice.
I did know that. But I did not know that that show got canceled, I guess, apparently. Or ended. Did it end or...
I don't know. I guess one of those
things. They must have known.
I didn't even know it was still on.
Yeah, I didn't know either. That show did get a lot of hype when it first came out, though. And I like that guy, the evil handsome guy.
Yeah.
Ed Westwick. I did like him. At least, like, maybe not in every instance, but I liked... There's some good images.
What about the girl that was the Little Who girl in The Grinch, who grew up to be like the punk rock blonde chick?
I did not watch the show, so I wouldn't know. I've seen probably like half an episode of it. Wasn't the Pontani sisters on it?
Yeah.
Maybe I saw part of that. But I wasn't like big enough fan to really tune in every week.
You know, it's like a high society overly drama, like Popular, but New York.
Yeah.
Like a TV show Popular. Exactly. TV show Popular had a good Christmas episode. I'd say that. That was cool. Yeah, so I don't know. Someone go out there and tell me, or I'll just go look it up online. But if I find out it's not Kristen Bell, I'm just like, come on,
you're
guys.
Like, that whole show is gone.
Yeah, it's like, Chris, she has a day off. Let her do that.
But you know what's like so strange to me, Joe, about this whole show talking about people being offended and stuff. That shooting, though, did make me upset because in previous years, you know, there's been other shootings, right? There's even one last week somewhere else. Forget exactly where. And there was like that Colorado one, the Aurora, Colorado. There's a whole bunch of them. You know, they happen a few times a year. But like, I don't know. This one, for some reason, like really upset me more because it was younger kids. They're only like 6 years old.
Yeah, I know. And like specifically on that day, I was just like, I can't. I know what happened. I don't need anything else. I don't need to do anything. I was like, I just need to get the hell away from it. And I think that's going to be probably a big turning point in my life where I'm just like, all this social media stuff is just bullshit at this point. It's just really bullshit. And I just really was at that point. I was like, this is tiring. And then they have all these new rules. But all this, no owner, like, you know, you can, now they're going to easily make money off of your work and you can do all that. And I'm just like, that's not worth it to do that. I'm just going to post on my own sites and who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not that big of a strain for me not to produce stuff, but it's a big enough strain that whenever I do go on any one of those sites, there's something about it that you feel like shit afterwards. There's nothing positive out there. It's the Superman effect that Superman has to be able to control his super hearing, but he hears everyone that's whining and crying because of his superhero vision looking for his help. But at the same time, it's sort of like he can't help everybody, but it's also the same time, it's so straining that you must hear everyone's like thoughts, not their thoughts, but their words and their actions. And it's just sort of like, you're just tired and you become like, almost like, how do you not become? And then you realize the world is like so negative. You're like, why do I want to, or everyone's so self-promotional and full of themselves or trying to put themselves over before everyone else. No one's trying to help anyone out. It's sort of just like, what this is. You can easily see what this country is and you can easily see what this world is. And you're just like, why? 21st, let it end or let it reboot. You know what I mean?
Well,
end it all.
Speaking of the self-promotional thing, because that's what I mainly use social media for.
That's all, but at least we have
work. But the thing is like, we're providing content to people. The show's free. My webcomic is free.
Yeah.
I never asked for any money, so I'm not even like monetizing it. I'm just creating stuff to make people happy, pretty much.
But at the end of the day, I'm happy to be alive. And sometimes I'm happy to be dead, too. But I'm happy the show is, and I'm really happy our tour was pretty awesome this year.
Yes.
I think it was a very tiring and more exhausting tour than ever before, but anything that's not a struggle is probably not worth it at all, so it's definitely worth it. So, and there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully not, or hopefully so, this is the show before the end of the world. So
what do you want to be doing by the end of the world, like when that moment happens? If you could ideally plan it, what would you be doing?
Living life to the fullest any way I can do it. CurlsHappenStudio.com, CurlsHappenStudio.com/curls for Carolyn's webcomic, Astray Productions, and GoAstray.com. Thanks, guys. If the world ends, I'll say just keep living. And if it doesn't, go out there and do what you want to do and live. Ha! My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn. End of the world!
End of the world!